that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, September 10th, 2016. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we'll have the phone lines open, folks, if you want to call in and join us this morning. Not going to have Jason. Jason's out working at his dad's place again at Dr. Dan's, getting that kind of ready and out working with his dad. And so we'll, but John's here and Richard's here. And you know, the Holy Spirit's here because we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the name of the Son of God. You know, we've been out in Mormon territory the last couple days, and they believe he's a Son of God. Well, he is a Son of God. He is the Son of God. And we gather in his name, and he says, where two or more gather, he is there also. So we say, Holy Spirit, come and join us. Pull up a chair. Pour yourself a cup of coffee and join us this morning. Well, John, if you'll open us up in prayer, we'll kind of go from there after that.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to come together and to study your word and to speak whatever it is that you would have us to speak to the remnant. Lord, we do ask for a special anointing upon Richard and myself this morning. Lord, as we continue to see the birth pangs growing closer and closer, as we continue to hear the rumors of wars, Lord, as we continue to witness apostasy, the fallen away of those once true believers, those that have given in to having their ears tickled, not wanting to endure sound doctrine, appointing teachers of their own liking. Lord, we see that the false Baal prophets are raised up all across the country and in the world, those that have decided to give in to the pleasures of sin, and they are leading your people astray. Lord, we do ask that you would once again raise up prophets who fear nothing but you, Lord, who do not fear man or what man can do to him. Lord, that they would warn the people, sound the alarm, remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, Lord, those that can come to repentance and those that are yours. Lord, draw them back into the fold. We ask that your word says when two or more are gathered, then you're there also. Lord, we are a man down this morning, so we do ask that you would be with us today. Lord, that you would bring your myriads of angels, and Lord, that the talk in this morning's program would be pleasing to you, Lord, as we do our best to warn your people and to show them the evil things that are going on. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding, the kind of wisdom that Solomon had as the patriarchs of our household. Let the Holy Spirit guide and direct us, lead us. Lord, give us that faith that we need to know when it's you that's speaking to us and not a false prophet. Lord, let us hear. And once we hear, help us to obey. Even if we may not understand, Lord, we're coming to a place where we have to be able to hear and we have to be able to obey. So, Lord, we ask for that discernment. Just guide and direct us. Give us wisdom and understanding. Bless this hour this morning. Bless your people, the remnant. Bless them and keep them. Make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. Lift up your countenance to them and grant them peace. We pray all these things through the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And here it is, 10 days into September, tomorrow being the 15th anniversary, I guess, being that it's 2016, of the 9/11 attack on the United States, and that's just what it was, what it is. It was an attack on the United States. You can point the finger here, there, and everywhere, and that happens. But we have to remember the Bible will help us explain it. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so when we have lives stolen, when we have people killed, when we have destruction like we saw 15 years ago, well, we know who it comes from. It comes from the enemy. It comes from the enemy of God's people. It comes from his children. And because they do the desire of their Father who is in heaven. And so it was an attack. And boy, we have seen, we've seen our Pastor Peters. He had prophesied earlier that summer that come September, things would never be the same. If you go back and a lot of the radio archives, the radio messages from that time of the year are archived. And we try to play them when we can, rotate in some of those old messages. And I remember him saying, I listened to one of his messages just a week or so ago about 9/11. And, he wasn't tooting his own horn, but he was just trying to share with the people and remind them that, you know, he had said, come September 4th. And he said, I gave the date of September 4th. The first of the month, that he said nothing would be the same. And then he said, you know, maybe he didn't miss it too far, because back in the days of Noah, they closed the doors of the ark a week before, 7 days before the rain fell. And that put him pretty close on to September 11th. But I remember when that happened, we'd only been out here a few months. We'd only come out and started out here at the Radio Ranch that July. And so you know, had only been out here a couple of months, and I had driven up here at the ranch that morning, and Pastor was out. His door was open. He was in his office drinking coffee, and I joined him in there. And I remember walking in, and he had his TV on, and said, "Richard, a jet just hit the World Trade Center." And of course, the live TV is on, and we're sitting there watching it. And here comes jet number two, and we watched it like most of America did, live on TV. The falling of Babylon. And I think that you go back and listen and see some of the newsletter articles that the pastor wrote and put out, and I think that was probably the biggest consensus, was that Babylon has fallen. You know, New York City being the head of that Babylonian empire here in this country, and just the many different aspects, biblical aspects of it. You know, when you start to look into all the different things that happened, from the falling of the buildings, the insurance money that was made by certain people on that, the financial tradings that went on that day, that morning, and the day before, you know, the government report of $3 trillion that was missing, that was going to be investigated that very day. The Securities and Exchange Commission was housed there.
Yeah.
And so all their records, all everything they were doing and investigating, all gone. It's kind of hard to fathom all the different intricate details that were going on and that went on there. You know, the fact that, I think we had the Patriot Act passed within a week or two of 9/11, 2001.
Yeah. I mean, what it really did was mark the escalation of the promotion of the New World Order. And then if you looked 10 years to the day, George Bush Sr., when he gave that speech that I think was one of the first times that the New World Order was mentioned, and he said, make no mistake, if you watch that video, you can still pull it up on YouTube or whatever, on the internet, you watch that video, you look into his eyes, and you can see evil, and you can see, and make no mistake, we will get it done. And boy, there sure has been a lot of progress in that area since 9/11, that's for sure.
Yeah, they have. But you know, you can, if you read through, whether it's Jeremiah 51 or Revelation 18, you read about Babylon in the Bible, and you see that it's not a one person, but it's a system. And it's not a one nation system, but it's a world system. And it comes down and it falls. And you know, the enemies of God make their plans, and you know, human life is at the bottom of their list as far as wealth. I mean, they look at us, Babylon looks at human life like cattle. They even call us that, Goyim. And you know, when you run cattle, they have their purpose. You know, I'm looking out at the hill up to the north, and there's 10 or 12 head of cattle I can see right out there. You know, some mama cows and some steers and some little heifer cows, and you know, they have their purpose. And that's how Babylon looks at us. We have to remember that this, you know, this world system, this Babylonian system, is not the kingdom of heaven. It's not the way things are supposed to be. it has come upon us once again because of our sin, because of the, well, you know, I got a verse here, and I'll just throw it out there, and, you know, we can kind of take it for what it is, see if we believe it or not. And it's Amos 3:6. And it says, if a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people tremble? And you know, many people, John, they've heard you talk about being the watchman on the wall. And they heard Pastor talk about being a watchman on the wall and giving a warning. And that's what the trumpet was in the days of old. You know, they didn't have cell phones back in, you know, the days of Jeremiah, the days of Amos. But you had the watchman that walked around up on the wall. They walked around the border of the city. You know, even in Revolutionary War days, they had, or in the, we'll say the settling of this nation's days, in colonial days, they had, all the way up into there, they had basically firemen would walk around with these clackers. They didn't have a trumpet, but they'd walk around with these loud clackers. And they'd walk around and patrol at night, and if a fire broke out, they would yell, like the old Paul Revere, and make these, rattle these noisemakers to wake people up to warn them. And so, you know, there's been these watchmen in our society all throughout, in the physical part. Well, we have them in the spiritual as well. But they would blow the trumpet in the days of old. And that's what Amos is saying here. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people tremble? You know, when the trumpet was blown, that was a warning. Hey, your enemy's coming. And what Amos is saying here, when that happens, don't the people tremble when they hear it happening, when they hear the trumpet blown, when they hear the warning? And then the second part of Amos 3:6 says, if a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? And so we ask two questions, and the answer to the first one is yes. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people tremble? Yes, they do tremble, because they hear that, hey, there's an enemy coming upon us. The watchman has sounded the trumpet. It's a call to arms. And then, if a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? And the answer to that also is yes. I think so anyway. Amos 3:6.
Yeah, I found myself reading in Jeremiah early this morning, and I think Jeremiah 2:4 through 8 is a warning to his people, where it says, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt? I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. Prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Sure sounds pretty familiar.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It sounds like today. It sounds like today. The more and more, John, I think that all of us, when we read the warnings in Jeremiah, in Isaiah, we see the similarities of then and now. Because in those days, the people had sinned for generations, and God had kept his promise. He had given warning after warning, and finally he said, I've had enough. But he continues through, like just what you read there in Jeremiah, warning the people, telling them again what they had done, because a lot of them had not, you know, they whether they were blinded on purpose or willingly, a lot of the people were blinded to what had happened. And it seems like that's how it is today. God has given us, his people once again, a land of milk and honey, a land of unwalled villages, a land with an eastern sea and a western sea, a land of natural resources greater or as great as or greater than anywhere else on the whole planet. And
definitely greater
than
anywhere.
And that is this new Jerusalem that the Bible talks about. And when you spell that word, Jerusalem, you see the sign that God gave right there in the middle. You know, and the Bible tells us that the new Jerusalem is not the old Jerusalem. And that the old Jerusalem, you still see them wanting to go and rebuild the temple in the old Jerusalem. And it's because the prophecy doesn't apply to the people that are trying to do that. Because it's not to be rebuilt in the old Jerusalem, but in that new Jerusalem, in that heavenly kingdom, which is what America means, and what the word means in the ancient Gothic languages that the dispersions spoke. And so, and that's one of the great things about the truth of the Bible, is it answers the questions. You don't have to twist and contort and say, well, that part of the Bible doesn't apply here, or this part doesn't apply there. You know, that was sure one of the things that appealed to us, that kind of woke us up out of our slumber, my wife and I, 25 years ago, was that this Anglo-Israel message, it answered the questions because it has the right keys. It has the right, the key fits and the door opens as to who his people are, as to why these things are happening, as to why they happened in the days of Jeremiah and why they're happening again today. Of what Babylon is, of what who the great whore is and who it isn't, and who the people of promise are and who they aren't.
You look back at this whole 9/11 situation, and you have to just say, wow, God has a sense of humor, because not only did they perpetrate it, but then they made it out to be Islam that was behind it, but then our nation is invaded by Islam. You know, look at what's happening in Europe.
Yes.
It's just, and I think it's the enemy just thumbing their nose at the people, just saying, you know, you're so stupid, you can't even understand that you're losing your nation. You know, it's another example of us falling asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel. Because if you look at King Solomon too, what was his downfall? His downfall was his hundreds or thousands of wives, whatever it was he had, many from foreign nations with foreign gods, that brought a spirit of confusion upon him and upon the land. And that's where the same place we are today, because we've let these other nations in with their false gods, and people have given them an ear, and they've created these conduits to demons. We have a spirit of confusion in the land and over the people.
There is. You know, we drove out to Idaho with Jason and even our brother Tim went out, and his son and a couple of my sons, and again helping Jason out. And we stopped in a little town called Rock Springs, which is over on the western part of Wyoming. Beautiful place. River runs through it. Mountains. The interstate, they had to cut part of the mountains out to drive through. And so, you know, just, when you're driving around, it looks like something out of an old John Wayne movie. You know, the red mountain hillsides, and, you know, just what you'd call God's country. You know, beautiful over there. Of course, it's, you know, it's September, so it's nice, still fairly green out there. And so, you know, it's not snowy and windy and everything, but just beautiful countryside. And we're driving through, and we pulled in. It was kind of we were a little late for lunch, but we pulled in to get a quick lunch on the road. And as we're driving through the town, here on the right is this, it must have been 16 foot tall, a big statue of Buddha. Big old, you know, the big fat guy, big fat Buddha with the funny little smile on his face. Seems funny to some people. And here, you know, and it's like Buddha Bob's something. I don't know what it was. Some, I don't know if it was a restaurant or what. And, you know, so here it is, right here in the middle of a little town in Wyoming. And here's this false god is just what it is. It's the, and you're right, John, it's the same thing that destroyed the kingdom in the first place. Was Solomon, the wise king. He started worshiping the false gods, and he allowed them in the land, and it was the downfall of the kingdom. Nothing new under the sun, because we have the same thing today.
Did your night didn't pray over it?
You know, we prayed over it as we drove by. Didn't really have anywhere to pull in with the 28-foot trailer, and it was just kind of a there it is, and as we're driving by. So no, we didn't go back and pull into their parking lot. I think the comment was made that, you know, we could drive by here on the way home and pull that false god down.
Yeah,
it was kind of neat because it was with the, you know, my boys were in the truck with me, and they thought the same thing. But we see that everywhere, and I just mentioned it there because it's everywhere. It really is. Everything gets to be God, whether it's the trees, whether it's the you know, these Buddhas, whether it's the statue of so-called liberty in the harbor there in New York. See, Allah, everything gets to be God except God. In this time when good is called evil and evil is called good. And, you know, people, we need to wake up to that. We need to realize that's what it is. See that.
Yeah, I witnessed.
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead. Just this past weekend, Labor Day weekend, I decided to go back to Nebraska, Sand Hills. There, Lake McConaughey, Pastor Peters and his grandchildren, and we used to go there quite a bit, and it's right where he grew up there in the Sand Hills. And we had some great times there over the years. And I hadn't been there in several years, and just thought, yeah, you know, let's give it a shot. So we went out there, and boy, I tell you what, you talk about the demographics changing. That place, you would swear that you were in Mexico. And it's to the point now where these once beautiful campgrounds with shower houses and restrooms and all of that, they have signs that say, please don't throw the toilet paper on the floor, throw it in the toilet. And as you drive around, there's typically people are camped on the sandy beaches all the way around the lake. It's 110 miles of white sand beach that most people call the poor man's Caribbean. But this time it wasn't just tents and campers and stuff. There was shanties that were plywood, like, you know, it's hard to even describe, but just pieces of plywood and tarps and things like that in these, like, midshift cities, you know, not really. Wow. City, but just a long area that was, yeah, I mean, it just looked like you were in a third world country. And when you see signs like that, you know. So when the government tells you that, oh, we're going to let 20,000 in, guess again, there's been millions let in. I bet if we took calls from people across the country, they would say that going to the grocery store and the different things that we do every day, you can see that the demographics have changed. You can see that God's keeping his word. And it's even more so in Europe. Those people, a lot of them fighting for their lives. A lot of them fighting for their wives and their children.
Yes, they
are. To
keep
them from being raped. I mean, it's... Yeah, there's worse things than death, and that's what can be done to your family when you don't have any protection, power, and authority.
Amen. Jeremiah 51:7 tells us, Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are going mad. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing, John. We are seeing the insanity. It's absolute insanity of Babylon. You know? because this goes on in the land of the free and the home of the brave here in America, right? You know, here in America, where we still fly the flag, yeah. And it's insanity. The people just accept it. And you know, they send their children to this public fool system to where they have, you know, they spend a week and learn about a week of Ramadan, and they, you know, and they learn of all these foreign cultures. They learn how to write in Arabic, and they talk about Sharia law, and they, you know, oh, because we have to, you know, we have to understand and be cognizant and aware and tolerant of all these others, and the children don't even know what restroom to use anymore. It's not absolute
word of, not one word of Christianity either.
Oh no, because that's intolerance.
Can't have that.
That's intolerance.
Yeah.
You know, they forget, and it's just like you read in Jeremiah 2, John. It is. It's, didn't I give you all these blessings? Says God. Says our Father. Our Father in heaven, didn't I give you all these blessings? And then what'd you do? You know, you spread your legs under every green tree for every other god there was, except me. And so, you know, talking with the men, one thing we did get to do out there, we, of course, helping Jason and getting things taken care of out of his dad's and stuff, but it was a time of good fellowship, you know? You get several men and a couple of our boys together out there, and you know, it's a time of good fellowship. You know, you can call a queer and say, you know, God hates that, and you don't have to look over your shoulder and worry about the politically correct police coming after you. But you know, the Bible says that it talks about a couple cities that were so wicked, and Christ talked about it, that he went in and told the cities to repent, and he said, you know, if you don't, God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, our entire land is becoming that way. Our system, our government, our schools are becoming that way. They are becoming worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, if God doesn't pour out his wrath upon the sinful people in this nation, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And our God is not a God that apologizes. His way is right. His word is truth. From in the beginning to the amen, amen at the end of Revelations. His word is truth. But you know, he's not slow, as some consider slowness, but he is loving. He is compassionate. He is, he's forgiving. He's patient. The Bible says, not wanting for any to perish, but for all to come to, not their own enlightenment, not for people to come to where they think that they know better than him, and not for them to come and worship any god under the sun. He didn't like it in Solomon's day, and he doesn't like it today. No, but for all, our God desires all to come to repentance. Repentance. And when his people do, that's a great thing. But when they don't, well, Babylon, Babylon the Great has fallen. And she takes down his people with her when that happens. Those that will not repent.
Yeah, in Isaiah 39 through 11 it says that this is a rebellious people, lying children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy, to us the right things, speak to us smooth things, prophecy, deceits, get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. And that's pretty much what's going on. I mean, just like in the times of Jeremiah.
Yes.
Those true prophets who prophesy truth are a minority, and the majority has caused a massive increase in the false prophets.
Because the people love to have it so. The people want it that way. That's just what you read. The people want it that way. Don't tell us, don't bother us with the truth. You know, Pastor called those that he ministered to truth junkies. You know, give us truth. Truth about 9/11, give us truth. Truth about the Bible, give us truth. We don't care. We don't care. We want truth. Doesn't care if it makes us outcasts. Doesn't care if we're called. You know, Fox headline news this morning. Clinton says half of Trump's voters are, quote, racist, sexist, homophobic. Now, where have we heard that before? Okay? Sexist, racist, homophobic. So that's half of Trump's voters, says Clinton. You know, how many times have we been called that for believing the truth? Racist. You know what? God made the races. God made the black man and he said, this is good. And he made the Chinese man and he said, this is good. And he made the Latino and he made the white man and he made the all the races. God made them and he said, this is good. They're all God's creation. But you know, he made cardinals. And he made blue jays. And cardinals and blue jays don't mix. They know that cardinals go with cardinals and blue jays go with blue jays. And God said it was good. And the problem comes in is when we try to be God, we try to be smarter than God, and we try to mix things up. And so, you know, how many times are we told throughout the Bible, come out of her, my people. Be ye separate. And that doesn't, that, you know, if that's racist, then God is racist. And I want to be like God. I want to be racist. If that's how you want to look at it.
The response could be, yeah, Hillary, but more than half of your followers are demonic and antichrist.
Yeah. And we get called sexist, you know? Yeah, we believe the sexes are different. That if God made you a man, guess what? You need to be a man. If he made you a woman, guess what? You need to be a woman. You need to dress like it. You need to act like it. You need to recognize it, because when you do that, it glorifies God. It glorifies God. You know, when you twist all that stuff up, it's an abomination before God. It absolutely is. And homophobic, let me tell you something, folks. Homosexuals don't make it into the kingdom of God, because homosexuality is a sin. Oh, there's a lot more sin. Adultery, fornication. Oh, yeah, there's the land's full of them. The land's full of sin. But homosexuality gets pushed in front of us, gets put in our face, the filth that it is. And that's just what it is. And it is a sin, folks. And God hates it. Okay? God hates it. And if you want to believe that he hates the sin and loves the sinner, well, you know, you don't read your Bible. Now, God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. So if you're a homosexual out there, or you know one, you better repent. If you're an adulterer out there, you better repent. If you're a liar, if you steal, if you kill, you better repent while you can. And you can repent of those things. They're sins. But you better repent while you can, because there's a time coming that you're not going to be able to. And if you continue to practice those sins, you won't make it into the kingdom, whatever you want to call that, the kingdom of heaven, eternity with Christ, you know, heaven. You don't make it. The Bible's very clear about that. Go ahead, John.
I found something that seems to make some headway with some of these Judeo-Christians that are so stuck in their sloppy agape love, as our pastor would say. I said, well, you know, if you really do love them, you would teach them to repent.
Yes.
And turn from their wicked ways. You wouldn't condone the sin. And the problem is that the churches today have become acceptant and tolerant of the sin because they're afraid of losing their church or their homes or whatever it is. These pastors, they don't have the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have the faith in the Holy Spirit. And because of that, the Spirit of God has left many churches and they're dead, and there is no truth and there is no life in those churches. But it gets them to thinking. And
that's good.
And I think it's a good way to approach it, is instead of just condemning them for being accepted and tolerant, just say, look, if you really love these people, then you have to warn them. You know, Ezekiel 3:17-19 says, if you see a man living wickedly, and you don't warn him to turn from his wicked ways, and he dies, his blood is on you. But if you do warn him to turn from his wicked ways, and he chooses not to, then his blood is on him. I mean, I think we forget that, and you definitely don't hear it preached in the Judeo-Christian churches, that's for sure.
No.
You don't hear it preached Ezekiel 9:4 either, where the angel went through the city and put a mark on those that are sighing and groaning and moaning at the abominations in the land. But those who don't have the mark utterly destroy them, young women, old women, young men, old men, and start with the elders in the house of the Lord. You don't hear that preached in the churches either.
Nope. And that's just because they tolerate the sin.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories, I guess, is in the prophet Micaiah, who was kept in prison during the reign of Jehoshaphat during the time of the war in Syria. And in 1 Kings 22:6-7, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and he said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain?" So they said, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into thy hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that I may require of him?" And the response of the false prophets was good and not negative. Yep. However, the king then decided to inquire of the true prophet of God that was in prison. And if you read the story, verse 8, it says, "So the kings of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'There is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil.'"
Yeah. And see, it was truth.
Where we're at today.
It absolutely is. It was truth, because these people are, they want to remain, just like you read, they want to remain in their lies. They want the prophets to prophesy falsely. They want that to happen. You know, I was encouraged. I think we mentioned it last week. I was encouraged, John, because not this past week, but the week before. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, has been traveling around, going to the state capitals, praying. And they had some quotes. He was in Boston. And boy, the Boston papers chewed him up and spit him out. Called him everything, every kind of, you know, about like Clinton calling all of us racist, sexist, and homophobic. But some of the quotes that came out of Franklin Graham's talk in Boston about a week and a half ago was, he said, you know, we come together as different denominations, but we come together as Christians. We come together in the name of Jesus Christ to serve him. Yep. And he said, "I want you to take the hand of the person next to you." And he said, "Let it be a stranger, doesn't matter, but we're going to pray because we come together as Christians." And he said, "But let us repent. Let us pray. Let us repent of the sins of our nation, the sins of homosexuality, the sins of same-sex marriage, the sins of abortion." And he asked the people, he told them to repent of those sins. That word has got to get out. You know, when his people do, when our people do, but they have to repent, it's got to be repentance. I praise God. I don't understand everything. I don't know Franklin Graham. Never met him. But when you put that kind of stuff out, that is truth, because we have to repent in the name of Jesus Christ and return to God. And when we do that...
Yeah, you know, we ought to be praying for him, too, that the evil ones don't get to him, because they did get to his father.
They did.
We showed that.
They did.
On a train from Chicago to New York with the...
But you know,
in Chicago, I forgot his name, but...
And you know, yeah, it was Hearst, Randolph Hearst. But you know, praise the Lord that... You know, we are not held accountable for the sins of our fathers. We can repent of them anyway. And that each man makes his own way before the Lord. And, you know, we know we can come under those generational curses, generational sins, if you will, but we can repent of those. You know, our pastor taught us that. You hear that in the Hope is Alive program from Pastor Cox as well. You know, that sometimes we have to repent of those things. You know, just like nobody knows their genealogy back more than a generation or two. And then nobody knows how pure that is. And the Bible says don't get tied up in endless genealogies. You know, those are not things for us to be that concerned about. Well, it's the same way with generational sins. You know, we you don't know. Nobody knows what, I mean, you think about, folks, you think about how evil and wicked your own heart is and the things that you have to fight every day in your daily fight of faith. You think your dad, and I'm talking to the men here, you think your dad didn't have to fight those things as well? You think his dad didn't have to fight those things? You know, might have been a different type of battle, but they had that sinful nature just like we do as a people today. And so, praise God, some of us have...
much worse.
Much worse, probably.
Technology.
Yeah, but you know, thank God some of us have come out of that, have repented, have returned and said, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. And do our best to turn away from those things. And we fight that daily fight of faith. Well, we still have to repent. We can repent for our fathers, for our grandfathers. And when we do that, see, that's a returning. That's a recognizing that, you know, that our fathers were just men, that our grandfathers were just men, but that, and we recognize that. We thank God that He's called us out of the sins of this world, and we are returning to Him.
Yeah, you're reading on there in 1 Kings. The king told the men to go and gather the prophet from the dungeon. And as the men came up with Micaiah, they warned him to agree with all the other prophets and say something good and not evil. However, the prophet feared God more than man and gave the king the true word of the Lord. And verse 19 says, then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all of the hosts of heaven standing by, and on his right hand, and on his left hand. Verse 20. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then the Spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you.
Yes, and that's exactly what happened.
I mean,
that's exactly what happened. Ahab goes out and he's killed.
Yeah, it's a time for the true prophets of God to come out of hiding and declare, thus saith the Lord, without fear of man.
Right.
For them to stop eating at the table of Jezebel and start eating at the table of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know, in Revelation 3, talking about to the angel or to the pastor of the church of Laodicea, and it says, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, and that's Jesus Christ. That's who it's talking about. This is our loving Savior that says this. He says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That means Jesus Christ says, if you're not hot or cold, and especially not hot for Him, He's not going to have anything to do with you, folks. You can ride along with your false antichrist Judeo-Christianity today and that sloppy agape love, but it ain't going to do you no good on Judgment Day. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and I have need of nothing. And you know, that's how so many of our people are today. They're comfortable in their slavery. They're so comfortable in their sin, they say, oh, don't rock the boat. You know, the 40,000 are comfortable going and hearing Prophet Osteen tell them, oh, God loves you, and He wants to bless you, and you're blessed, and oh, blah, blah, blah. And he just pours out. And so many of them do that today. You listen on the radio, and oh, these preachers are so effeminate. They just appeal. Oh, it's sickening. And Jesus Christ says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Because you say you're rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. You do not know that you are wretched. People, we are all wretched in the sight of God until we repent and are covered by the blood of Christ. We are wretched. He cannot look upon us. He cannot, God cannot have anything to do with His people while they're in their sin. So if you're out there living a life of adultery, if you're living a life of homosexuality, if you're living a life out there lying, cheating, stealing, guess what? God's not going to have anything to do with you. You can call yourself American all you want.
Yeah.
You do not know you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And that's how we are apart from Christ. That's how all are apart from Christ. And he says, I advise you to buy for me gold refined by fire that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. It's called repentance. It's called repentance. And it's repent or perish. It's still that way.
Yeah, we talked about in the past how we believe a lot of these things are God's allowing to come to pass, this same-sex marriage and now this transgenderism and all this, but believe the lines are being drawn, you know, choose ye this day who you shall serve. If Baal be God, then serve Baal, but if the Lord be God, then serve the Lord.
Amen.
That he's using these things to weed out the true churches and get rid of those churches of Laodicea that are lukewarm, not hot or cold, and he spews them out of his mouth. But also those people who are lukewarm, who will not choose a side. You know, God says, oh, that you be hot or cold.
Yes.
And, but I also believe that this transgender thing that's being pushed into the schools and openly accepted, by the way, because as of now, the not-so-Supreme Court ruled against the Obama Nation's demand that the schools implement this stuff or lose funding. But there's schools all across the country. So parents, if you have your children in those schools, know this. This is a test from God as well, because those children aren't yours. They're given to you to be stewards over, to take care of. And if you don't fight against these things that are coming into the schools, then you're failing that test, just like the false churches are. There's no doubt in my mind that that's what's going on right now. He's telling the parents, too, choose ye this day who you shall serve.
Amen.
You're going to serve Baal and give your children up to Baal? Because that's what you're doing.
Yep.
When you put them on that school bus every morning, or when you drop them off in front of that Baal worship temple, that's what you're doing.
Yeah. That's right. And you know, if you and it's a choice. It's a choice. Now, a lot of people don't realize that, but that's what we're doing, as Watchmen on the Wall is telling you that that's what that is. When you let this ungodly public fool system raise your children, teach them that there's no God, teach them that, you know, they can pray to Buddha or Allah, or if your son is little Joe, he can be little Josephina if he wants, or your daughter Sally can be Billy if she wants. And that's what this wine of Babylon that is insanity that God is allowing to happen because his people have turned from him. And so, you know, you are sacrificing your children to that. Folks, we know what we're talking about. We do. We've lived
and
through
make
it.
No mistake. Just because you think you're sending them to a small Christian school, that don't mean nothing either. The enemy creeps in.
Yeah,
they infiltrate. I just had to nip something in the bud the other day with one of the teachers in geography trying to teach these kids about global warming. And I just went to the principal and I said, look, I said, this is a Christian school. We send our children here so that we don't have to be subjected, so that they don't have to be subjected to these things of the world. And
and
you better find out, you know, first and foremost, you got to ask, well, what's the intention of this teacher? Is there, if they're telling them about the evils of it, that's one thing. But if they're teaching them this political correct crap in a Christian school, then yeah, I have a problem with it, and I won't tolerate it. And I, you know, Pastor used to say, it takes so little, but it's so easy just to sit on your butt and not even make a phone call or not even mention something that you hear about. Or worse, and I've been guilty of this, folks, gossip about it. Then guess what you're doing? You're falling into the trap of Satan. Because when he gets us to turn against one another, and to encourage one another, to cause division, there's not the strength that's there of the saints to defeat the evil one. And they know it. And they do everything they can to cause division so that the power of prayer between the saints is diminished.
Amen. We have to stand.
That's the book I talked about the other day. It's called Piercing the Darkness. And I'd encourage you to read it or get it on tape or whatever you got to do. But it just exhibits exactly what we're going through in today's world. It also shows that book, what was interesting to me, if you listen to it carefully, God loves his people so much that even before they don't know who he is, before they're called, he protects them.
Yes.
And he gives them those opportunities, sometimes more than one, most of the time more than one.
Yes.
Eventually, that door is closed, but it's just such a great example of the spiritual warfare that most people don't even understand, even though it tells us point blank in the Bible, in Ephesians 6:10-20 and 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, that we are in a spiritual warfare.
Amen, we are. Again, if you read your Bibles, you'll see that. Well, we've got the September Bible reading plan up on the website, scriptures4america.org. If you can't go to the website, if you contact us, we'll be glad to send you that Bible reading plan. And our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. If you do email, our email is preacher@sfaw.org. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd be glad to maybe this is the first time you've heard some of this stuff. We'd be glad to send you some information. Got a great little treatise the pastor did. It's called The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. If you don't know what that greatest discovery of our age is, you need to know. You write to us, call us, text us, send us a smoke signal, whatever you need to do. You get in touch with us, and we'll get that greatest discovery of our age to you. No charge. We'll be glad to send it to you. Well, John, we're out of time. Boy, the morning flew by. We do want to invite you folks, come to church with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast, at scriptures4america.org. Hope to see you there. John, we'll see you there in the morning. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stake high. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more,
snake hide. Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off.
them off, move them out, move them out.